On this week's podcast, we're talking to our Director of Operations, Lauren Cumby, all about organic reach for your social posts and how it's declining. We won't just talk about it, but give you some ideas to hopefully overcome it. Stay tuned in. Hi, and welcome to the Dogwood Media Solutions podcast. I'm your host, Brian Harris, and today I have a guest that's been a recurring guest all season long on this on our Dogwood Media Solutions podcast, Miss Lauren Cumby.
Hello.
I don't remember if we did another podcast since we changed your title, though.
I don't know. We definitely haven't talked about my change and like what I do.
Yeah, well, we did change a lot of that. So your new title is Director of Operations.
Yeah.
So you get to kind of oversee a lot more of the office now.
Mm-hmm.
And it really helps that you've been here almost 5 years now. This spring will be 5 years. So if anyone's going to know how Dogwood works at this point, it would probably be you.
I would hope so.
I mean, you've been here nearly the longest of anyone, me being the exception.
Yeah, exactly.
Which that's the way it works. When you start a company, you get to be the first one forever.
Yeah, we were trying to figure out the hierarchy of like who's been here the longest the other day. And I think it's obviously you, but yes. Then me, Beth, Jesse?
I believe that's correct.
So.
Yeah, because Beth came in August of 2019. And so she's been here 4 years, and Jesse's 4 years, I think, will come up in the spring also.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say he's March or April of 2020, because we hired him right when the whole pandemic started.
Right.
Because everyone was freaking out, and he needed a little bit of work because his work had changed. But that's a whole other thing. We can get into that. We can go through the whole hierarchy. I have a spreadsheet for that, you know.
We need to do a history of Dogwood podcast.
That'd actually be really cool one day, just to go through and talk about each one of the people that's worked for us and what they've given to us, and even talk about some of the people that have been able to move on and have gone to bigger and greater positions. That'd actually be a fun podcast. We should try that sometime. But today we're going to be talking about declining organic reach, which is one of the things that people do not find fun to talk about.
I was about to say, that was a real change there.
It was, because who wants to find out that their content is seeing less and less people?
Mm-hmm.
And so the only way it could be worth listening to at this point would be to find out that we're actually going to give you some tips to help maybe overcome some of that. You're never going to be able to overcome it totally.
Right.
I mean, because it's never going to be what it was back when Facebook and Instagram and all that kind of stuff first began.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been doing this long enough to remember that before the whole algorithms went into place, which we'll talk about some of that too, that you used to be able to just post anything and just about everyone saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you didn't have as many businesses on it. They weren't making money.
Right.
It was one of those things that they eventually had to add an advertising method to it. And I remember that being a big deal, that Facebook's going to add ads. It's coming. And like, I remember when they hired their first ad chief, that, I mean, it was just the beginning that they actually had to be a profitable company,
mm-hmm.
which they are.
Yeah, very profitable.
They're very profitable at this point. Well, not as profitable as they were at one point, just because of like privacy laws have changed some of that kind of stuff and how you can target people, and there's people who hate Facebook and hate Instagram. And mm-hmm. so they're still the biggest company out there when it comes to social media, though. They're still going to make money.
Yep.
They're going to always have ebbs and flows. But the first thing, the problem that we're really talking about to begin with is the Instagram and Facebook do have a decline in organic reach when you post something.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll talk about that some more in depth. I mean, like, why is that happening?
Yeah, sure. So I think that, really the thing that made me want to write this blog was because I think declining organic reach is kind of one of those buzzwords that people kind of use, and they hear it, but they don't fully understand what that means. And so it's kind of one of those like big, scary, like boogeyman words that people just throw around without really understanding what's going mm-hmm. on. And it kind of sounds a lot scarier than it actually is, especially if you're a business that, you know, you yourself are not an expert in marketing. So you're kind of just trying to do your best. It can sound like everything you're doing is really useless. So
everything you post, no one's ever going to see it now because they put that big word on there.
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of why I wanted to look into it and just do a little bit of a deep dive into exactly like how much has organic reach declined, and what are the things that you can do about it, and does that mean that you should just like stop doing organic social and that kind of thing? And so that's kind of all the bits and pieces that we talked about in here. But so one of the things that I really wanted to find out was just how much organic reach has dropped, because I mean, it's pretty obvious to all of us that work in the industry that, like, even now, there's still a steady decline.
Yeah, that was going to be my first question to you, is tell us about the history of organic traffic and how it's changed.
Yeah, so in First of all, in July 2022, Instagram's average organic reach was down 29% from the previous year, which is kind of crazy. And then during that same time period, Facebook's organic reach dropped from 10.4% to 8.6%, which is still a really large drop. And of course, the statistic that we all use in the industry is about 2-ish percent of your organic audience is going to see any individual post that you make. So that's kind of the common statistics that we all hear. But the way we got here is, like you said, there back when social media was kind of first coming around, you're looking like I'm going to make an old joke. I wasn't going to. I wasn't going to, but
I remember when this all happened.
Since Brian's like telling us about the good old days.
Back when you could post things on the Facebook and things would actually show up.
Honestly, though, because that's how it was. When social media first came around, it was mostly individuals using it. There wasn't all this business. There wasn't people spending money on it to get their stuff seen. And I mean, I even remember when Instagram was first coming around, like you saw things in chronological order when your friends posted stuff, however long ago it was that they posted, that's how far down your timeline it was. It was really, I mean, logical. Like it made sense.
It did.
But the problem was that people started complaining about not seeing the things that they wanted to see. They said that things were getting eaten up because too many people were posting things, and so they didn't see things that they wanted to see. And so, of course, when you complain like that, the company that you're complaining to is going to want to try to make changes because they want to keep you happy because they want you to use their product.
Right.
So that's kind of the first change that started happening was the algorithm was introduced. It had a lot fewer things that it looked into. But of course, nobody's ever happy. So algorithms introduced, they start making some changes, trying to figure out what do you like, what do you look into the most, what pages are you following, kind of figure out who you are as a person and show you the things that you like. Well, people still weren't happy about what they were seeing, so the algorithm gets bumped up another step. And to this point, there are, I don't even remember exactly what it was, but there's like thousands of indicators that the algorithm looks at.
It used to be, I believe, four, if I remember correct.
I think so.
When the Edge ranking system, I believe is what it was originally called, came out, it had those four indicators they were looking at for how they weighted a post, because I actually went out and did speeches on this all throughout the state and the Southeast about the Edge ranking system and how you had to get these certain things on your post to actually help it be seen correctly. And I remember going around talking about that, and then they changed it all and started adding in so many other different factors and how they weighed it and scored each post that they put on your that when you'd post something and how it would show up and everything. So it's a pretty crazy little thing. I mean, like how complicated the algorithms are that they've generated for Facebook and Instagram.
Right. Well, now we moved into the, you know, money came into it. People could now boost what they were posting to get more people to see it. Well, then we got to a point where kind of the opposite was happening, where people are saying, you know, now I'm seeing too much stuff that I'm quote unquote interested in, because it's businesses now that are paying for these spots. And, you know, people got mad. Facebook made changes. Well, now Facebook has restrictions on promotional posts. So if you are a business that's promoting things organically, they have restrictions on how much they will show people things that are not boosted, because obviously they want to prioritize their boosted content.
So they
if you're
make money.
Right, of course, like we all do. So if you're promoting things, but you're not boosting them, Facebook legitimately has a restriction on that. I believe the number is about 5% visibility for for prioritizing those things that are promotional but non-boosted. And so all of that can sound really hopeless. Like, what's the point? But I personally believe there's still lots of reasons to be doing organic social media, especially if you're using it as a part of your overall marketing strategy.
Right. So you're not throwing out organic, but you do have some tips that could possibly help people to be able to have their things that they actually want to be seen beyond the organic stuff.
Exactly. I think people just have to do more intentional posting nowadays than they used to. Used to, you could just put something out there and see what happened. But now you really have to have a full, well-rounded marketing strategy in order for all of that to be useful.
I know we have a couple things with our marketing strategists that we've taught them when they're working with a client. We basically, I want to say we... I'm assuming we're still doing this, because this has been kind of the great thing about this business as it continued to grow. I'm not managing social media like I used to, but mm-hmm. I still stay very much in touch with it.
I'm also not managing social media like so I weird. Used to. Isn't that exciting?
Well, maybe. I don't know. But there's the 80-20 rule that we've kind of always gone by, that 80% of your things don't have – they're just informational, mm-hmm. where 20% is the thing we actually want people to really see. Mm-hmm. These are the things that we have to make sure that no matter what all this other things we're putting out there, that these are what we are the most important pieces. Mm-hmm. They would be the pieces that generally are going to generate revenue when it right. comes to a business. Or if it's a nonprofit, it's the thing that's going to boost revenue still, because when you're a nonprofit, you're trying to get people involved. So it could be an ask to attend an event. It could be an ask for money or things to be donated, whatever that is. That's that 20% piece. And 80% things is where people are actually getting useful information from mm-hmm. you.
Yeah. And I think usually when we talk about the 80-20 rule, we're talking about like you building rapport with your audience. Mm-hmm. But that same rule really helps you play well with the algorithm. Because if you're constantly posting promotional things, asking for people to come buy something from you or attend an event or whatever it might be, the algorithm's a lot more likely to look at your stuff and go, oh, I'm not showing that.
They're just being spammy at that point.
Right, exactly. They're so having useful. That 80% is really helpful for the algorithm to see that you have valuable information.
Mm-hmm. That's one reason why we always tell businesses to post at least 10 times a month mm-hmm. over a 30-day period to post 10 times. Because if you did that, then 80%, eight of those posts are going to be things of relevance to their audience. Mm-hmm. And the other two posts are actually going to be the things that they're trying to promote.
Right. So. Exactly.
So that's the way we still use the organic. I know mm-hmm. one other way that this is not really organic, but it's taking, say, those two posts that we want to make sure those are definitely seen. Mm-hmm. Facebook Boost.
Yes. Facebook Boost. So one of the big ways that you can kind of overcome this declining organic reach is, of course, to put some money behind your post. So in Facebook world, that's called a boost. And it's really easy to do, honestly. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people get scared when you start talking about like Facebook advertising and that kind of thing. But a boost is really the simplest method for advertising on Facebook. And really, like, we encourage all of our clients to have at least some amount of ad money that mm-hmm. they can use, whether it's just for Boost or it's Boost and ads. We've really gotten to the point where we encourage people to have that regardless of right. what they're doing.
If you're spending this much money to generate a strategy mm-hmm. and to have graphic design work done, to have scheduling done, put a little bit more behind it to make sure it's actually seen. And with boosting, you can target that audience mm-hmm. also too, which is a big piece. And so, yes, you want to build a general audience for everything to go out there for. But in some cases, you really want to make sure that the right people are seeing that. And boosting definitely helps that. And even you can use time to boost also too. So, like, if you have an event promotion coming up mm-hmm. and, you know, the event has a sell date, you know, by the 15th of the month or something like that, you need to make sure that that's out there and that it ends at that same time. Mm-hmm. Whereas your organic post would just continue to be seen, or unless you deleted it, but that would be kind of crazy because you'd lose all that momentum that you had on your page. Mm-hmm. So you want to keep those things out there, but that boost will allow you to time it out too.
Right, yeah. Well, and one of the things that I think people don't fully get is let's say that by some miracle, your profile was reaching 100% of your audience 100% of the time, then you might think, okay, well, then what's the point in me using money? Like, I'm already reaching my audience. Well, boosting doesn't just reach your current audience. Boosting helps you reach new people who might be mm-hmm. interested in being a part of your audience. So typically, one of our best practices that we use is to use that built-in Facebook audience of people who like your page and people similar to them. Mm-hmm. It's such an easy way to get your content in front of people that are most likely to want to be a part of your audience that are not currently a part of your audience. So boosting isn't just to get your stuff in front of the people that you're already trying to reach. It's to get it in front of new people that could potentially grow your business.
So right now, the tips are boosting, of course, still having an organic plan, having an actual plan,
yes,
using the 80-20 method. Mm-hmm. And then the last piece that you had, and this all came out of the blog post too, which, by the way, if you go to dogwoodmediasolutions.com/blog, you can read all the blog posts we put out there pretty regularly. They have a lot of helpful information, including this blog post that we're talking about today that mm-hmm. Lauren wrote, and definitely has all this information we're talking about. You're just getting more in depth information as we share here. But the last piece of that was about cross-posting your content. And this is something I found more useful, especially as I've been helping out with some of our different social media clients, of using things like stories, for instance. I've seen a lot of things come out of there, even reels on Facebook. We have one of our clients that had, I think it was like 110,000 views on a reel recently. And like Facebook actually emailed us and is trying to get us into like a separate level Facebook piece that, where we actually start generating revenue on that video being seen. It's like a revenue sharing piece.
Wow.
Because when you get over 100,000 views, you get to actually start generating revenue from that. Now, that's not the norm. But that still, that was really cool that they would invite us to do that. And also just that we had this post that did that. But that was also a cross-posting piece too. That was an original piece of content we put out there and then shared it to other pieces, other places, and Instagram and Facebook. So that, I mean, that's a good way to do it from what your blog post is saying. Wouldn't you? I mean, that's anything more you want to share? I just took over your post for you.
No, you're good. Yeah, that's definitely.
I read it, actually, I promise.
Right. Yeah, no, that's exactly one of the big things that people probably don't think about the value of is cross-posting. So first of all, you can, of course, cross-post like again across platforms. So, you know, taking something that you post on Facebook and sharing it to Instagram or vice versa, or sharing things to Twitter if you're still on X or Twitter or whatever we're calling it now, those kind of things. But then also, like you said, within the platform itself, sharing that same content to all of the different places that it can be seen. So, for instance, you know, with your real example, you know, Reels have one feed in in Instagram, but then you have your timeline feed, and then you also have your stories. And so if you were to post a Reel, when you post it, tell it to also share that to the timeline, and then also go and share that to your stories, you have now made sure that no matter where somebody prefers to get their content from on Instagram, they are most likely going to see it at some point.
And like, then share it to Facebook too.
Exactly. Because like, for example, I pretty much exclusively use Instagram for stories. I very rarely just like go through the timeline, and I don't really use the Reels section of it because I'm still a TikToker. But because if you post something in your stories, even though I don't look at the Reel section, I don't scroll through my timeline, I'm still going to see it. Another thing about Reels specifically in your stories, a lot of people like to put those cute little stickers over the top that like it'll like erase part of it and be like, ooh, new Reel or whatever. And that is actually detrimental to your views on your Reel because Instagram counts every Reel view in a story as a view. And so if you're covering up your Reel, nobody's going to actually watch it. You're also probably annoying people because now they have to click on it in order to go see it. And if you would have just left it up there and not covered it up, people might have actually sat there and watched your Reel. So
I wonder what made people try to that. I mean, like, why would they think that would be helpful?
It used to, well, because it didn't used to count your story views as real views. And so used to, it was to encourage people to go view it. But since then, things have changed, and now those views count. And so people just didn't know that that change happened. So that's just a little tidbit, an extra tidbit that's not in here. to make sure that you're taking advantage of those story views as well.
Well, I know we're getting close to the end of our time here on this week's podcast. So in the end, the big question, is it still worth posting and using organic reach? I mean, I think we've answered that question several times in here, but just what is your emphatic answer?
The emphatic answer is, of course. Just like with anything in marketing, if you go in without a plan, without a purpose, then yeah, it's probably not going to do super well for you. But if you go in with a plan, with purpose, and you're using this as a bigger part of your overall marketing scheme, then it's going to do well for you. One of the things that in my research that I saw that just really made a great point is that your paid social and your organic social have different goals. So that organic social is where people are going to come back and kind of see who you are, what your company is about, that kind of thing. And it builds that trust and rapport, not only with your current audience, but also with the people that you bring in. Whereas your paid social is you specifically targeting certain people that you want to see your content and hopefully pulling them in. So you kind of need both in order for you to have a full, well-rounded, presence on social media, because I mean, you know how weird it is when you like click on an ad and you go to their page and there's nothing there.
Yep.
Or like the last time they posted was 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, now this seems kind of sketchy. Like you're not a real thing. Uh-huh. You don't have an actual audience that's interacting
with
you.
You're just using ads, just trying to get us there to your website so you can buy something.
Exactly. So you want to look like a real company. You want to look like real people. You don't want to look like a scam. You want to build that trust with your audience. And that way, hopefully, that trust is felt by the new people that might want to become a part of your audience. It's all just puzzle pieces that are all important to see the big picture.
And everyone, of course, can do this on their own. But we're also, I mean, we're talking about a lot of different steps here and a lot of different things.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And so that's one of the reasons why we're here. I mean, we help people to put together these strategies mm-hmm. for their social media. And this is a big piece. We have four people on that team now. That's all they do every day is work with different brands, helping them to come up with strategies, helping them to design things that go with that, helping them to stay on task, helping them to be consistent and to answer all these questions like when should we boost? What things should we boost? What kind of content should we put out there? It's a lot of questions down mm-hmm. there. And if you can generate revenue from it, that's our goal.
Right.
But that's how we win. When Dogwood comes in and signs a contract with someone to manage their social media for them, it's not just so we can go out and make a bunch of pretty things and post on there.
Right.
It's we want to see you actually have wins with this, whether it be building your brand or if it's making sales or if it's finding educating people about your nonprofit, whichever one it is, we want to look at those goals and build out an actual marketing strategy that takes advantage of organic reach. It uses boosting or it uses these cross-platform pieces that we're able to do now, and that's what these folks do, and mm-hmm. they do it really good.
Yeah, they do it really well. That's one of the things that I tell people a lot is the reason that we do what we do is so that you can do better at what you do.
Yes.
Let us do what we do super well so that you can go do what you do super well and we can work together to hopefully grow your business.
And there's a lot of people out there too that do this full time for companies. But I guess where we really fit in is maybe there's a company that has a person that's on staff, but they don't have the specialty that does this
mm-hmm.
and they need someone to help them with that piece. We're able to step in. Or sometimes a company has no persons. No people. You know, my English is failing today. They don't have a person on their staff that does any of the marketing for mm-hmm. them. And so we're able to come in and be that marketing staff for them because we have the designers, the social media people, we have the PR person, we have the videographer,
mm-hmm.
and we can do all those things for them cheaper than it would be for them to go hire all those different things.
Right. Or find a magic unicorn that does all of that.
Yes. And that person, they exist, but they also are really expensive too. Mm-hmm. We tend to be a lot less expensive than unicorns.
Because we need that in writing somewhere.
A lot less expensive than unicorns, Dogwood Media. I should get Bill to come back in from our voiceover podcast and have him say Dogwood Media Solutions cheaper than a unicorn.
Yeah, that's definitely a t-shirt or something. Yeah,
that would be really cool. Well, if you like what we're hearing, what you're hearing, and I guess us too, if you like what you're hearing, you can head over to our website at dogwoodmediasolutions.com. You can check out some of our other blog content there, like I mentioned earlier. And also, you can listen to all of our podcasts that we've produced. And so this is our first season of doing podcasts. We've had a lot of fun so far. Still have several more episodes we're going to work on this year, and then we'll have some fun stuff we'll work on for next year also too as we continue this. If you're looking to connect with us, our website's still the same place to go and connect with us. Go visit that at dogwoodmediasolutions.com. Look at the contact page there. You'll find email, social media, all different ways you can contact us there. If you haven't already, definitely please subscribe to our podcast. So every 2 weeks when we publish this, you'll get a notification on your favorite platform. We're on all the platforms you can think of. Apple, Spotify, all those different things. We're there. Our podcast is there, and you can subscribe to it and get those notifications automatically as a new one comes out. Again, thanks for tuning in this week to the Dogwood Media Solutions podcast. Lauren, thanks for being my guest.
You're welcome.
And until next time,
happy marketing.
You got me. Happy marketing.